third Proverbs class that we are recording and playing for the first time each Wednesday night at 7:30. Hope everyone is doing well. We are still not meeting together on Wednesday nights, obviously, and this week we have had extra reason to be cautious and to stay in perhaps more than normal with all of the rain that we've had because of the tropical storm. And so hope everyone is doing well, is safe, has not experienced any hardship through all of this. And maybe you are still gathered, as some of us have been doing, gathered in the home together with your family or a few other families, experiencing this class together. If so, there will be chances for discussion at the end of this video that you can engage in together. But this is a study of the book of Proverbs, and there is material that is posted on our website, belairchurchofchrist.org, and you can access that and follow along. And I'm enjoying this study, and I hope that it's profitable and enjoyable for you as well. I am here at the building, as you can see, and doing it myself, so it's a little bit different of a setup than what I would typically do either at home or when the crew is here helping me. But hopefully we won't have too many snags and can figure this out together. But let's go ahead and jump in to our class and talk a little bit about where we've been and where we are going. This is the third class in which we are talking about how one obtains wisdom. We did an introduction in the first class that talked about the role of Proverbs within the biblical literature, specifically in the Old Testament. Remember that God gave commands for his people in the law. God gave prophets to give these oracles, these messages to his people. But then we have books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job, the wisdom literature. And a book like Proverbs in particular is advice, divine advice, inspired just as the rest of Scripture. But it is advice about living well. Proverbs, as we pointed out, deals with very everyday types of things and situations and relationships. And it is advice for navigating all of that well, in the way that God intended us to live, so that life can be lived at its fullest and at its best. And remember that Proverbs, unlike Ecclesiastes and Job, does not get as much into the exceptions of the time and chance of life, or the times that the rules are broken and that living well does not guarantee success. Proverbs is a more straightforward look at the way God designed the world to operate, and if you live according to the pattern, through the wisdom that he has built into the world, then life will go well for you. So Proverbs gives that sort of advice. And we talked in the last class, lesson two, about the nature of the writing in Proverbs, that it is a little bit different from reading a story or from reading a prophetic oracle. And that Hebrew poetry has some distinct features to it, namely the parallelism, where especially in a book like Proverbs, there will be two lines, two ideas expressed in a verse that will build on each other or contrast against each other for the purpose of highlighting some point. And so understanding how the poetry works helps us to interpret the Proverbs and make the most of them. And tonight we are talking about obtaining wisdom. And here are our goals for this class. The first and main thing that we want to do is to demonstrate that wherever we get wisdom from, that's one of the things that we're going to explore. Where can you derive wisdom? Wherever that comes from, all wisdom originates with God. God is the source, even if the channels through which we receive the wisdom are different. And the second thing that we will at least touch on to some degree is beginning to define these two key terms that we'll see in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, what that means, and foolishness or folly, and what that means. But the focus of today's class is on where wisdom comes from and where we get it. So let's begin with this passage in Proverbs chapter 2. If you're following along in your handout in lesson 3, we're going to start in order, but then go out of order in your handout. And so I'll try to alert you for that. But we begin with this passage in Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6. My son, if you accept my word and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, this is a passage about searching after and looking for and calling after and trying to get wisdom. That's a big theme in the book of Proverbs. Well, where does that wisdom come from? How might we find it? And the clear statement in chapter 2, verse 6 is the Lord gives wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. Again, if we're talking about the skill of living well, living life as it was intended to be lived, God is the one who gives that wisdom. And we'll talk about maybe why that is going forward. But because God is the source of wisdom, that makes sense of the famous statement that is found in one place in Proverbs, in chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You may remember that when we talked about the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, that all three of those books highlight and put special emphasis on the fear of the Lord. And in the thought of the Proverbs, this is why. It's because God gives wisdom, so only when a person looks to God with reverence and with humility, understands that He is the Almighty, that He is the Creator, that He is the All-Knowing One, and that He controls all of what goes on in this world. When a person reverently and humbly acknowledges that and bows their heart to the Creator, to Jehovah God, that is when someone can start to incorporate and to take in and to receive and appreciate the wisdom that He gives. So God is the source of wisdom, and so the fear of the Lord is the necessary starting point for gaining that wisdom. But we can start to put together a diagram that looks something like this. God up here, man down here, and wisdom, knowledge is going to have to be communicated from God to man. We're dependent on Him for wisdom, as we have said. And so it is from His revelation, His making things known. That's what that word means. Something is revealed, it is uncovered, it is made known. God reveals His wisdom to man. How does He do that? And there is maybe one fairly obvious way that God has and still reveals His wisdom to people. And if we go back to that verse in Proverbs chapter 2, notice one of the phrases in verse 5, that as this person is looking and searching and seeking after wisdom, he says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." This is basically the same thing, but it does paint a little bit different of a picture. It is in verse 6, it is God giving wisdom. You see that kind of direct connection there. In verse 5, it's as if the knowledge of God is out there and one has to find it, comes across it, and through that, you know, finding of the knowledge of God, they receive the wisdom that God wants to be revealed. Well, how is it that God's knowledge is out there and exists somewhere that we can go and find it? Well, we understand that the Bible, that the Scriptures that God has inspired men to write down, that contains those Scriptures, that Bible contains the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. He's revealed it so it can be written down and then we can find it there. There's a question, it looks like it is number E on your handout, that points to Deuteronomy 4, 5-8. This is what that passage says. Moses, speaking to the people of Israel, "See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on Him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? This is a cool passage, and one I think that we could learn a lot from, because it describes the peoples of the earth, the nations around Israel, looking at them and looking at the way that they keep the law of God and marveling at that and saying, man, what a great God, what a great and wise people that have this law from God that they follow. So there's a lot, I think, to be appreciated about this passage. Well, let's notice specifically what we've been talking about. Moses is saying, I am putting before you these scriptures. I am putting before you these commandments, these statutes, these judgments. But notice that Moses says it's not just that you have them, that is the significant thing. It is that you have them and that you keep them and do them. And putting that together, the revealed word of God and then the keeping and the doing of those words, Moses says, that will be your wisdom. And so we see this idea that I think is important in understanding the Proverbs, that there is knowledge of God that has been given through the Scriptures is one way that that knowledge comes, God inspiring men to write things down, and it's out there. If we will seek it, but then if we will hold on to it and do the things that are written down. That then is when wisdom works in our lives, and to carry out the rest of this passage, when people will see and will appreciate the wisdom of God as it works, as it acts in our lives from day to day. Okay, but are there other ways that we can discover wisdom? This is going back to letter C, about can a man discover truths that we find in the book of Proverbs? Can we get wisdom from somewhere else? We've talked about God being the source. We've talked about the words of Scripture that God gives, and then we can find that and seek it out and do that. But are there other ways that a man can, men and women can learn wisdom? That's what we're going to talk about. Where is the knowledge of God found? Let's begin with a couple passages that are outside the book of Proverbs, but I think are probably very familiar to you. It seems like we've talked about these relatively recently, perhaps in our worldview lessons or something like that. Psalm 19, where is knowledge of God found? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. You see in this psalm that we are still saying, and it's still obvious, that God is the source of the knowledge and wisdom. But what's the channel? What's the messenger here in Psalm 19? But the heavens, the skies, the works of God's hands in the creation that is speaking to those that will listen. And you'll remember that in the New Testament, the passage that best maybe encapsulates this is Romans 1, when Paul says that all men are accountable, Jew and Gentile, for their sins, and that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. Again, God is the source. He has revealed knowledge and wisdom. How? Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. God is the source of wisdom, but through the things that He has made, His qualities, the knowledge of Him, and His wisdom can be understood by viewing the creation and the world that God has ordered. This is a huge point for understanding the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 20 and 12 says, Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Because wisdom can be revealed in what God has made and in the world around us, to understand the Proverbs and to make the Proverbs real and to understand where they're coming from, we need to understand that God intends us and expects us to hear with our ears, to see with our eyes, to observe, and through that observation, to learn, and specifically to learn about Him and to learn about living well in His world. Okay, all of this is kind of fleshed out or backed up with this passage in Proverbs 8, which to me is critical, again, for understanding what's going on in Proverbs. Notice what's being said here, and notice that in this section, wisdom is speaking. And so the I and the me is wisdom personified and speaking about her place, if we're imagining wisdom as Lady Wisdom, as is common in the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs 8, 22 to 31. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works. Before His deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in the place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overstep His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at His side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in His presence, rejoicing in His whole world, and delighting in mankind. Okay, you see the picture here? That wisdom is speaking, and she's speaking about the creation of the world and her place in it. And she says that she was there from the beginning. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works, before the deeds of old. Some people have described this passage as if wisdom is the contractor, right? The head contractor for God and His construction process. He's using wisdom in order to construct, to build, and to carry out the plans that He has for creation. And so she was there before all of this. Other stuff was there, okay? The watery depths, the springs, the mountains, the hills. I was there, wisdom says, when He set the heavens in place. And not only was wisdom present, but again, wisdom was woven into the creation. That God was working with wisdom. Everything was set up with this power, with this physics in place that we call wisdom. She was constantly at His side and delighting in the creation of the world and the creation of man. The picture of Proverbs 8 is that wisdom is woven into creation. Everything was made by God in His wisdom. And so wisdom is a force in the world in the same way that we might imagine or know that gravity is a force in the world. And gravity is, I think, an interesting analogy, because gravity is this invisible force that you can't see it, but it's so obvious that its effects are there. And that the more you know about gravity, you see that really it's gravity that is holding like the universe together. The planets keep in motion because of gravity, and the moon stays where it is, and the earth doesn't flood because of gravity, and the sun, you know, the earth stays where it is in relation to the sun and doesn't burn up because of gravity. And so, like gravity is this invisible force that holds the world together, wisdom, Proverbs says, is this force, this personal attribute of God that He has woven into creation. And so as He rules the world that He created, He rules it in wisdom as He created it in wisdom. And so wisdom acts and has power in the world. And so, again, think about what we're talking about in this class here before we get too off track. Because wisdom is woven into the world and it's a part of everything that goes on in our life, what that means is, like Psalm 19 said and like Romans 1 said, Proverbs, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, if wisdom is woven into the world, then we should be able to look around at the world. We should be able to observe the world as we live in it, and through that, gain wisdom, through our observation, through our experience. Knowing that all of this starts with and cannot go anywhere without the fear of the Lord. But within the fear of the Lord, an acknowledgement that He's the Creator, an understanding that He has woven wisdom into the world, then we can observe everything going on around us and we can learn, we can gain wisdom and knowledge through that observation. And so, as we close, let's talk about what the Proverbs points to as the everyday sources of wisdom. And notice where it is that we can learn from according to Proverbs. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. I want to go here and read each of these and then notice what the source of wisdom is in each instance. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. Let me just make sure that my recording is going as I intended to, and it looks like everything is going well. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Where is the proverb drawing this wisdom from? Well, it's something we've been talking about, but a very specific instance. You see that the proverb here, Solomon, the person that is giving this advice to the young man about laziness and hard work, is learning this lesson from the ants, from studying. You can imagine Solomon, you know, down on his knees, you know, looking at the ants and the way that they carry their food back and forth, the way that they work together, and there's nobody telling them what to do, yet they do it. And from that observation of something very scientific, a very, very earthly in that sense, that the ants, these bugs on the ground, from that observation taking place in a world that God created, Solomon says, oh man, there's a lesson to be learned in that. And if people could be more like ants in that sense and could work harder without someone always over their shoulder telling them what to do, then that could be a good thing. And so Proverbs 6, 6 to 8, go to the ant, you sluggard, is a specific demonstration of this very point. Observing the world and then drawing a lesson, drawing wisdom from that observation. Let's do another one here. Proverbs 11, 14. Maybe you could shout it out at home, what you think the source of wisdom is before we get to it. Proverbs 11, 14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Where else does this verse in Proverbs say that we can gain wisdom in our everyday life? Well, it's pointing to the importance of advisors and teachers. This is not the only place that throughout the book, Proverbs will say, you need wise people telling you how to live, and without that, you're going to have a hard time. It's through the people in our lives that are wiser than us. Oftentimes, they're older than us. There's people in our lives that advise us, that teach us, and through those counselors. They maybe not are inspired apostles that have written down a letter. They may not be an angel of the Lord as a messenger to us. But the Proverbs clearly says that through wise people, we can learn the wisdom of God. And that's a source of wisdom that we can take advantage of. Two other passages here. 17:10, I know we're going a little bit out of order, you have to flip back and forth through the Proverbs. 17:10 in Proverbs says, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. And then going back to 9, 8, and 9, do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. What is the source of wisdom in these two verses? Well, it's similar to what's been said before, but a more specific instance of it, which is the rebuke from somebody, the discipline of somebody correcting and saying, that was wrong. this is, if they're in a position of authority, you know, this is what's going to happen because of that. But that was wrong. We learn from the discipline of others. We learn from the rebukes, the time that we do something and someone has a sharp response to that because it wasn't wise. Now, let's make a side point here that relates to our second of the two goals of this class, which is the difference between or understanding the Proverbs definition of wisdom and folly. And notice that what is said here is that wisdom is the person that receives the rebuke, receives the instruction even when it's painful or it's hard to hear, whereas foolishness, folly, is not wanting to receive that at all, resisting, kicking back against that. That's a key point that I'm sure we'll revisit time and time again throughout Proverbs. We think of wisdom as being someone who knows a bunch of stuff, and a fool as someone who doesn't know much stuff. The picture of Proverbs is something closer to the wise person is the one willing to listen, and the fool is the one unwilling to listen. And so wisdom and folly become less about how much you know and more about your willingness to learn, and specifically in this case, your willingness to receive instruction. But those rebukes, hard as they may be a source of wisdom. Proverbs 19:25. This is all in letter D of your handout, but I feel bad because they're out of order from the PowerPoint to the handout. So do your best on that. But Proverbs 19:25, interesting verse here. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Okay, it could be, it depends a little bit on interpretation, it could be that this is the same thing that was just said before, that if you strike someone, it might do them good. And if you strike a wise person, they will learn from that. But I think the way that first phrase is said, strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd, could be an indication that we're talking about watching somebody else receive punishment and the simple person, the naive person, learning his lesson before he is in the same situation. Okay? And doesn't that happen? I'm the youngest of four brothers. And so I understand this point very well. You see what other people get punished for. You see the blows or the stripes or the fines or whatever that come upon other people. And you say, okay, I know not to make that. So that observation is a source of wisdom. Proverbs 13:1, as we move through these and not dwell too much on any of them, but you will have a chance to discuss some of these in a second. Proverbs 13:1, a wise man accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke, something we've talked about already in the beginning of Proverbs, that this is from the viewpoint of a father to a son, or even a mother to a son in places. And our parents are a valuable and beautiful source of wisdom, not just when you're young, but maybe in some ways the older you get, the more you are looking for that instruction and wisdom from your mother and father. But that's a source of wisdom. Proverbs 6:1-5, where we were previously. Proverbs 6:1-5. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and a bird from the hand of the fowler. What's going on here in this passage? The father's telling the son, look, if you get in a bad situation and if you've really messed up and you're staring down the barrel of those consequences, then you need to do something about that. One source of wisdom is the mistakes that we make. We make mistakes. We get into a bad situation because of the mistakes that we make. Again, there'll be a difference between the wise and the fool about how we respond to that. But if we are wise, then we'll see that mistake and the mess that we've made as a source of wisdom that we can learn from and become all the more wiser. And then Proverbs 24:30-32. Proverbs 24:30-32. Here's another observation. Like the ants, but here the proverb writer is observing something different. Notice what he's looking at. I passed by the field of a sluggard, and the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction." And actually goes on in the next verses to say the exact same thing that was said about the ant. Little sleep, little slumber, folding the hands to rest, poverty will come upon you like an armed man. What is the author observing here and learning from? He's learning from the mistakes of other people. He's walking by the field and say, whoever started this field, they have a problem with laziness, and this is the result of laziness. I'm going to reflect on that. I'm going to learn from it in my own life. You see that the world is a classroom. Because it is founded and built on the wisdom of God, and He has arranged everything to operate according to wisdom, the world is our classroom that we can observe and learn from our observations and from our experiences. And so we fill out the rest of this chart with all the things that we've been talking about. Observation of nature, education, experiences, mistakes, parents, family. And there's a question in your handout, letter G, I think, begins with this. About the value of a general education. I won't say too much about this because it's a little bit of a passion of mine, so I'll be careful. But I think when you read Proverbs, you understand that there is a lot of value in just learning and being a learner and being curious about things. How do things work? Being curious about science and math and digging into what's behind the natural processes of our world. Learning about all kinds of different creatures, plants, and animals. And there's value in history and learning about the way that societies have been built and how they collapse, and learning about people through historical figures or literature and seeing the minds and hearts of men revealed in the things that they have written down, fiction or nonfiction. And all of this is, again, it's using the classroom that God has provided to us in the world, that we live in a library of sorts where we can turn to different facets of our lives and turn to different things that we can learn from, and all of that is an opportunity for us to learn wisdom and gain our knowledge, not just knowledge for its own sake, but knowledge that will teach us more about God, teach us more about His world, and make us better in the sight of God and as His creatures. But let me also speak to G number one, which talks about, well, what if you don't have, is just the experience itself enough? What if you don't have godly influences and counselors and teachers and instruction and all of that? And that's an important thing for us to keep in mind, which is that we cannot separate all of this that we're talking about learning, all the observation. The world is our classroom if it's founded in the fear of the Lord. So if we're hurting for godly influences, then we need to work to find those. If we don't have the experiences of our life to confirm what we read in the wisdom of the Scriptures, well, then maybe we need to depend more closely on the Scriptures. Not that any of us can't afford to not depend on it. But we always need to be tying ourselves back to Scriptures. And so hopefully we do have people and experiences that we can learn from in our lives. But regardless, we always have Scripture that we can depend on. And it is that word that is certain, that is sure, and that trumps any experience we might have or any observation we might make. If there's ever a conflict between those two, we always trust Scripture, because that is where we confidently know God has revealed His knowledge. And so we bank on that. But then with this as our foundation, as the fear of the Lord as the starting place, then we can interpret and view all of the things that are happening around us in our life through that lens and gain valuable knowledge and wisdom from that. Okay, let's end with this. You might be with people that you can discuss this amongst yourselves. But think back at these everyday sources of wisdom that we've talked about, and I'll put them back up there for you. And think to yourself, maybe have a conversation with others, which of these sources describes a role that you have or could play in someone's life? How do you fit in some of these roles? What responsibilities do you have in those roles to impart and receive wisdom, and how can you better prepare yourself to fill that role? How can we give and receive wisdom through these channels that we have talked about tonight? Are we an advisor, a teacher, or a counselor, or Do we have those in our lives that we can learn from? Are we in a position to rebuke and to offer correction to others? Or are there relationships that we're receiving that from? Are we in a position to view, observe others' mistakes or punishments? Are we a parent or a child, and how does that fit into our giving and receiving of wisdom? Let's put ourselves in this picture here and think about our interactions and how it is that through those interactions we can, either we are now or we can do a better job of giving wisdom or receiving wisdom. And I'll leave this up on the screen for a few minutes so that as you're discussing, it's there in front of you. But the class is over, and so thank you for your good attention, and we'll pick up with the fourth lesson in our Proverbs class next week. Thank you.